Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, I have three words for you. We did it.
JT. Oh, what a day. What a day. We are back.
That was good. Got me going a little bit there,
buddy. Oh, come on. He's back. JT's
literally
back.
Less than 24 hours after the JT Romito's Not Coming Here pod. Man, I don't want to say that podcast was the reason it happened, but I also can't in good conscience say that it wasn't. You know what I'm saying, Jack?
I just want to know what else we have to do. I mean, we are no podcast is carrying this franchise on a back more than us. I mean, seriously, it's like they get on our backs and we'll lead you to the promised land. That's the offer that we're putting out there. I couldn't appreciate more. Dave Dombrowski listening to yesterday's podcast and being duped into thinking that JT wasn't coming here. I like that he took that personally. Like, I feel like Dave took the challenge personally of he's definitely coming here. And then, boom, you know, bing, bang, boom, this thing's done. A day later, 5 years, 115.5, just to make sure he got over the Joe Mauer number. So, like, listen, we're not a podcast that likes to pat ourselves on the back, but
never.
No, not us. So
it's not our thing. We would never do such a thing.
Yeah, and boy, did I blow it on the afternoon show, James. I mean, just.
I heard.
Oh, it was
a
choke job.
Yeah, it was a bad moment.
Such a choke job.
Especially for you. I mean, of all people to choke like that.
I mean,
I don't know what to say. It was disappointing.
I didn't have the celebration music ready. I didn't think it was coming. Like, I thought that we did the podcast yesterday. I didn't think it would happen that fast. You know, I thought they'd give us at least an extra day. Yeah. But I pride myself in being the first one to get the information out there. And as soon as I saw it, I said, that's a legitimate source. And I got it out there. I didn't have the celebration music ready. And then, I was kind of just speechless. Like, I'm so excited that JT's back.
Yeah. Look, we went into this off season knowing where the Phillies are at, knowing the issues, you know, obviously the way last season ended and then the press conference and then, you know, the whole search for the general manager and ending up at Dombrowski and all that. And, you know, it's been some dark times this offseason, Jack. It hasn't been, I don't know, the most fun team to talk about as of late. But if I could have just had one thing that just had to happen this off, like that we absolutely needed to happen, that was just such an all-time no-brainer, this has to happen. It was this guy coming back. Like, you just couldn't let him go. He couldn't leave.
No, no. He could, like, for all the bad, like, it would be bad PR to let him go after he gave up 6-0. And
oh,
yes,
my God.
I mean, yeah.
But also after your fan base on national television, you got the Fandemic crew out there, you know, signing JT. You got every, like, single the guy hits, the entire fan base is tweeting sign JT. And, oh, yeah, your star player is saying sign JT and making check symbols. And then you sign RG Bradley, and he's saying sign JT. Like, they... Again, we said it a million times, and it was true the entire time. There was no other franchise in the sport that JT Realmuto was even close to as valuable to. Not even close.
No, how happy do you think the Philly social media team is that they don't have to do the sign JT? Like, have they? I guess it's not officially
biggest winners of the trade or of the signing, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah, and I guess that. You know, they haven't put out an official statement on it yet. So I guess that's kind of, you know, whatever. But I just, if I was the Phillies social media team, I would be preparing a, like, we did it, all right? Everyone get off our backs. You don't have to write every single time we post something to sign JT. I mean, if I was running Philly social media, it would be, I'd be very petty about the JT signing.
You?
So.
No.
Oh,
people, that would so out of character for you.
Oh, dude,
I would never.
No, see, they could not let me run the Philly social media account because it would just be likes.
It would be a disaster.
I would just be going through on a liking spree of all the signed JT stuff.
I know. Yeah, I know. And it would be bad. You'd be trolling fans. It wouldn't be good.
No, yeah, it would be a disaster if I had the Philly. And plus, like, I'd probably start leaking stuff. Like, I'll start put out like eye emojis, like all that.
You'd be like tweeting. So, who out there likes Andrelton Simmons?
Yeah.
Interesting guy, right?
Yeah. Seems like a good move. Speaking really quick before we get back into the whole JT discussion of it all, Marcus Semien officially to the Jays. So, seems like the shortstop market is starting to break. And I think we're going to see Andrelton Simmons signing here shortly.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to Andrelton Simmons because it does seem like that's almost a fait accompli. It seems like everything at this point. I mean, Mark Feinstein, I think it was, tweeting out just a little bit ago, like the Phillies are shifting their attention to shortstop, specifically Andrelton Simmons. So, yeah, we'll get into Simmons later. Let's get into this team, James.
I know. They're starting to come together. All right.
I got a lot to say.
All right, let's do it.
Let's dive into it. First and foremost, just we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but just on the face of it, 5 years, 115. What are your thoughts on the contract and the player coming back here?
Great contract. It's the right years. I was worried actually they were going to get up to like 6 or 7 years just to kind of spread out the money and all that stuff. But it seems like he really valued getting more AAV than Mauer. And, you know, it's good. It's good for him to do that. It helps the union out. They can use this as precedent. I mean, the Mauer deal was how long ago? I mean, 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, 2011.
So it's been
2010, but a while ago.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since a contract like this has been signed by a catcher, so it's good for that. Good for JT. And really, like, I feel like this is just good for both sides. Because I don't think JT really had a robust market. I think the Phillies were the only team that were offering over $100 million. And, yeah, it might seem like an overpay. But at the same time, you're getting the best catcher in the sport back. He's happy with the contract. He was able to set an AAV record. And the Phillies didn't have to break the total bank to do it. It's almost like a win-win for both sides. JT's camp gets to be happy that they broke an AAV record, and the Phillies get to be happy that they get 5 years, $115 million. I'm not doing this stupid 0.5 at the end. They signed for $115 million. doesn't this whole thing remind you of like when freaking Papelbon signed and he asked for an extra $58 in his contract? I mean, it's not the same thing, but I was out on him at that moment.
So it just
feels like a really good contract. Like, I don't think JT's coming back like, oh, I took such a pay cut to come back here and play for the Phillies. From the Phillies standpoint, they didn't break the bank to bring back, you know, their best player. So it's a win-win for both sides, and I'm glad it's over and done with, and we can get moving.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the kind of anchor holding this whole offseason down. You know, it's like we just get this done, and then we can worry about other stuff. And I think you nailed it. We talked about it before, but it really is. It is a win-win for both sides, particularly, I think, for the Phillies, considering what and look, there's been a lot of give Matt Kontag his props. And look, we said the whole time, I thought the Phillies were playing it right with the market. They were reading the market right. But the biggest single reason by far that JT Realmuto got a 5-year, $110 million contract is the pandemic. That is the biggest reason. JT Realmuto was looking for $200 million before everything went down. Now, he would not have gotten that, but I think something like $6,150 or that type of deal was a lot more viable prior to the pandemic than after. So I do think the Phillies played it really well. I think they waited it out. They were patient. They were smart. They read the market right. And they gave him enough to be happy. Well, you know, basically almost the minimum amount they could give him so he would be happy. Like, that was the minimum amount. And I do think, to your point, though, they, like, in reality might have been able to get him for less, because I don't think there was another team out there bidding against them to that number. But ultimately, you're happy with that deal if you're the Phillies. JT's happy enough with the deal. And the biggest thing is that it's 5 years. I mean, once you get 6-7, I mean, honestly, ideally, you're looking for like 4, right, with right. this guy. But a 5-year deal, you assume that maybe that last year he's not a top tier player. But if he could be the JT we know now for the next 3 years of the deal, and God willing, the 4th year of the deal, it's a good deal. Like, it's just a good deal.
And so, honestly, I feel pretty good about him being a catcher and a good catcher at the age of 34. I know a lot of people get so concerned about catchers in their 30s getting big contracts and stuff like that. But, like, Yadier Molina has been catching forever, and he's 37, and he's still getting it done. Like, it's not something that happens all the time where every single catcher is just bad into their mid 30s. And JT, and we've talked about this a lot, like, he was late to getting into catching. He was
19 years old before he ever started catching.
Right, he's got fresh knees. And judging by his
calves, that's a big deal. I mean, it's 18 years, like, not really. Well, I guess, but, like, let's say you start really catching like 7 or 8 or whatever. I mean, that's like a decade plus of wear and tear on your knees.
Plus, you factor in how great his calves are. And, I mean, he's perfectly fine.
And that's coming from the world's foremost calves guy,
me and Johnny Drama.
Yes, I forgot about Johnny Drama. Yes, he's the fictional calves guy. You're the actual real life Johnny Drama.
Yeah, so I just think he's going to age fine. Like, I don't think it's going to be this huge thing where it's like, oh, he's breaking down at age 34 like Posey did. You know, Posey was catching forever. I mean, Posey's catching at Florida State. He's catching in the pros. He's catching to what, 3 World Series titles?
Yeah, I was about to say, and also deep into seasons and years where those take a toll on you, those World Series runs physically, you know, like, especially as a catcher, and then you do it 3 times.
And as a fan base. I mean, it takes a toll on you as well as someone who went through this for 5 years.
Must be tough.
Yeah,
to,
sounds awful.
Yeah. I think it's a great point there, Jack, the wear and tear thing. I really think it is something that sets him apart in this specific discussion. And also the fact that, look, a lot of his value comes from there's a lot of other stuff that he does outside of just the physical stuff, the way he calls a game, the way he handles the staff, the leadership perspective, all that stuff, that the field general, like, in a perfect world on a baseball team, your catcher is your field general. Like, that's the guy who just runs the show. And JT's that dude, like, in spades. And so is Yadier. It's a perfect kind of comp from that perspective. So I do think, look, anytime you sign a 30-year-old catcher to a 5-year deal, like, you're going to worry about the back end of it. You have to. It's just the nature of the position and all that.
Yep.
And again, a guy who, because of the position, like, and how brilliant he is at playing it, like, the vast majority of this $115 million contract, the value of that contract comes from the position he plays and how he plays it, you know, much more than his bat, as we've talked about, the bat for the position. So it is one of those you get worried about, like, because the value is all there, like, the moment he breaks down, it could go. But I'm really with you. I think, like, of all 30-year-old catchers, if I had to bet on someone to last physically, like, this dude's a hoss, and he doesn't have the same wear and tear, and he's an athlete. You know, he's fast, he's in shape, like, all these types of things you look for. I just, again, I can't guarantee he's going to be good in that 5th year, but I'm optimistic about it, Jack, more so than I would be with most catchers signed at this age.
Yeah, and honestly, like, the 5th year doesn't matter. You expect
that. Exactly. That was my point before. You're getting the value, really, in the first 3 to 4 years of this deal.
Yes, yeah, and a guy... So comparable to this in a way is a guy like Darren Dalton. And I think Darren Dalton was even more banged up than JT. I mean, Dutch is well known for, you know, how banged up he had been. Dude, in his age 35 season, he batted .263 with an .841 OPS. Like, it's not an automatic rule that guys fall off a cliff. And again, I don't think JT was as banged up as Dutch was by that point. So, yeah, it's just, I don't, I, I don't, agree with a lot of the people about giving a catcher the money. Now, 7 years, I agree. I mean, 7 years is a long time for a catcher, and I know the DH might be coming, and I know he can play first base, but like we talked about last night, I mean, you're signing him to this contract because of how great he is defensively, and he's also a great hitter for a catcher, not because he can be a DH or a first baseman down the road. Like, you can do that to, you know, dispel or give him a break from catching, but he's not going to be an all – you don't want him to be, like, an all-time DH.
Yeah, and also, look, you don't sign a player because you signed Bryce Harper this massive contract and you want to make Bryce happy, but it is a nice offshoot of this that – for Bryce coming here and all the promises that were made and all that, like, thank God they signed JT. I would have felt for all of us, but I would have felt particularly bad for Bryce Harper if they had let JT walk or if JT had, you know, like that. Man, it feels like that was a blow that Harper couldn't have handled.
Well, yeah, I legitimately think it would have gotten ugly.
I think so too. I think if JT left, like, that's the first steps to a Bryce Harper demanding a trade type of thing coming down the road.
Yeah, I think if the Phillies went into this offseason and didn't do anything, we would have been looking at a Bryce Harper trade request. You know, if they started pinching pennies and didn't bring back JT and didn't really look to upgrade the roster, I mean, Bryce would have been inconsolable. By the way, speaking of Bryce, did you see his Instagram comment?
No, what'd he say?
He put up a post of him and JT and said QB1. So does he think that he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz? 215-592-9494.
Well, I mean, who isn't a better quarterback than Carson Wentz right
JT
now? I mean,
definitely throws a nice football. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's the thing. Catchers throw it's the same motion. Like, whereas, like, if you're a shortstop, you're kind of throwing from the outside a little bit more. Like, a catcher throws like a quarterback does, up from the ear, you know?
Wow, look at you, Jamesy Mechanics. I didn't see that coming. Wow.
I catch you off guard every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I got to throw those in there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's spin it forward. So JT is now signed. Thank God. Thank God.
Isn't that so refreshing?
Oh, I honestly feel like a small part of me wasn't breathing and now it can breathe again. Like, that's honestly what it feels like.
Well,
feels
dude.
Part of me was pushed down and a weight got taken off.
And especially when you remember about Sixto. Like, since the season's over.
I haven't even let myself think about it. Like, that asset, because that's like, I couldn't have handled it. Like, now that you bring it up, like, thank God, you're right. But I couldn't handle that aspect of it.
Yeah, I know, because now the season's over, you're not seeing all the Sixto stuff, although I did see the other day that he was up for, what, like four starts, and he had the third most fastballs over 100 miles an hour last year, so we're not even going to talk about that anymore. We're not talking about the Sixto thing anymore. It's over.
Awesome. We got Ivan Nova. We buried the lead, Jack.
Yes, yes, yes. The Ivan Nova Emergency Podcast.
Oh, God.
Ivan Nova is terrible.
I hate that move.
I can't stand Ivan Nova.
It's $1.5 million if he makes in the majors. Like, why is this the guy you're taking a bet on? He stinks. Ivan Nova stinks.
Yeah, as a guy who drafted him a couple times, expecting Ivan Nova breakout year. I base most of my feelings towards players on if they screwed me in fantasy, and Ivan Nova.
I feel like that's a good way to do it, man.
Yeah, he screwed me a couple times. I mean, he'll never reach Ian Desmond level for me, but Ivan Nova, I've definitely bought into a couple times. So super not pumped about the Ivan Nova signing in it. Why spend $1.5 million on Ivan Nova? Like, can we use it on maybe, like...
That's my point. Like, any reliever X or whoever, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Oh, who cares? Right. JT's here.
Yeah, who cares? JT's here. JT! All right, so let's spin it forward. JT is back. We're set there. So we've got, like, the makings of, like, an actual baseball team. What a fun thought. We are assuming the Andrelton Simmons thing is going to happen. Like, you mentioned before, semi into the Jays. Like, it's either... Essentially, the only three names we've heard attached are Andrelton Simmons, Didi Gregorius, and Freddy Galvis. Can you believe it or not?
Awesome.
But from all the tea leaves, are you just assuming that, like, later this week we're going to hear that Andrelton Simmons is a Philly?
I would like to propose, James, that this is the official Andrelton Simmons is not going to be a Philly podcast.
I think that's a good move.
Boy, this is going to be a long podcast title for you. It's going to be the JT Real Muto Emergency Podcast / Ivan Nova Emergency Podcast / Andrelton Simmons Never Coming Here Podcast.
Maybe it'll be one of those things that actually isn't written out, but the real ones now.
Yes.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yeah, so if I had to guess, I would say that Andrelton Simmons is going to get like 1 year, $8 million from the Phillies. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm excited about Andrelton Simmons. People always talk about how his, he's like terrible offensively. Like, no, Freddie Galvis is terrible offensively.
That's what I was saying last show. Like, he's fine. He's an okay hitter.
Yeah, if you look at his last 5 years averaged out, his average OPS plus is 97, which is 3 points below league average. He's not going to wow you at the plate. But when you, like, and I said this last night and I tweeted again today, like, when you have a starting staff of Eflin, Wheeler, and Nola, which are ground ball guys, you want the best defensive shortstop out there possible, and why not get the best ever? And if you're going to have Alec Bohm play third base every day, why not have a guy that can range to his right as much as Andrelton Simmons can? I don't know if he can execute the jump throw quite like the GOAT Derek Jeter, but I think at least Simmons helps Alec Bohm a little bit from that standpoint of having the range. And I thought Didi was great at everything, like, in front of him. I didn't see the range I thought that we were going to get out of him last year. And Simmons is just in another class when it comes to
another defense. Like, another hemisphere. That's the thing. Like, Phillies fans who have watched, Didi and then Segura the year before, like, and obviously Freddie's a good defensive shortstop, but even if you're remembering Freddie fondly, thinking, like, after what we've had, wow, Freddie was so good defensively, like, Andrelton's in another hemisphere from Freddie. Like, Andrelton is so good. Like, it's going to be a joy to watch this guy play defense. Keith Law once used the phrase fielding porn to describe Francisco Lindor, and I think you could absolutely say that Andrelton Simmons did.
Well, I don't acknowledge anything Keith Law says.
I know, but it's a good line. Porn's a good line.
It is a good line.
Credit when due, Jack.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I have no problem with Keith Law, although I did not appreciate the questioning of Nick Bitsko. I
mean, friend of the podcast.
I know. I was just kidding. I'm just kidding.
He did come at you with the Bitsko thing.
Yeah, it was like we're just talking some high school arms here, Keith. it's not that big of a deal.
Hey, look. In the end, the Phillies chose a high school arm. Yeah. You won. He lost. Let the man live, Jack.
Although he might have won because Bitsko's getting shoulder surgery. But
I saw. But you can't predict that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who could have seen
his
that?
His point was the Phillies aren't taking a high school arm.
Yes.
That was the point.
Yes. But yeah, no. But seriously, like, if you have Simmons, you have JT Realmuto, and it seems like they might still be in on JBJ. It might be hard now because it seems like the funds are drying up in a sense. I guess they're, at about $180 million after the...
Yeah, last I saw was like 179 or somewhere in that range. They've got about $25 million to play with, $24 million to play with if they want to go up to... And that's before Simmons signing, right. If they want to go up to the tax. And you figure, look, they still need... They're going to sign Simmons. Let's say it's $8 or $9 million for a year. You still need bullpen pieces. I doubt they're going to do the same thing they did last year after what happened last year. I know we already got Archie, but I think there's at least one or two more bullpen pieces, like significant enough pieces coming. And then, I mean, you still could sign a starter too, theoretically. I mean, right now it's Ivan Nova or Vince Velasquez is your five starter. I mean, like, I'd rather not, Jack, if those are my options.
Well, that's annoying about the $1.5 million for Ivan Nova.
That's what's annoying about, and let's be real, and credit to the Phillies, credit right now, JT did it and all that, but like in reality, like what they should be doing is going all in on this team right now. I mean, what are you waiting to go over the luxury tax for? You've got JT Realmuto in his prime. You got Bryce Harper in his prime. You got Zach Wheeler in his prime. You got Aaron Nola entering his prime. Like the group of guys you have here, like, why not take a shot with them? I'm not saying this is the best team ever and going all in is going to guarantee you anything, but Right now, this team is not good enough. Like, they're not. They can make the playoffs. They can have a little fun, but they're not as good as the Dodgers. They're not as good as the powerhouse-type teams. But a few extra moves, like, you had a couple real bullpen pieces. You had a real starter. You had a real center fielder. All of a sudden, like, you're not as good, but you could win a series. You could get there. Like, I do think, and they're not going to do it this offseason. You hope that that's the plan for next offseason, is to really go for it. But at a certain point, like, and we've ripped him for the luxury tax nonstop, and we don't know if he'll ever go over it. You believe he will. I believe, hope he will. But, they have a unit of guys in their prime right now here who are worth building around and worth taking a shot with, especially for a team that's been so long. So, like, spend a little more money is what I think they should do. They won't, not right now, but that's really what they should do, Jeff.
Well, and really, you need to maximize the JT contract, because Bryce is here regardless. I mean, Bryce is here for the next 10 years. So,
but you're also maximizing both the heart of the Bryce contract.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And you maximize those things.
Yes.
Two superstars.
Yeah, and I as you were talking, I was writing it down. I mean, his contract is really interesting about the deferred money thing. You know, they're not paying it all up front, so that does theoretically save them some money in the front of the contract, so they can add to it, which is for
cash flow issues during the pandemic,
or for when Dombrowski leaves and he doesn't have to worry about the deferred contract.
Right,
he leaves that for Sam Fold to worry about. But I do wonder, now they have $300 million plus players now, but it does seem like they want a 1 year stopgap shortstop. Is that for Stott, or is that for the shortstop class of 2022?
I mean, you hope it's for the class next year, right? And I mean, it's a class. You know, and New York already has Lindor in their building. You worry that he'll just stay there.
That's
a concern with the class.
He will.
My guess, he will. But you hope it's for that. You hope it's for that, because again, like, to the point we're making, you know, what's the point of giving JT all this money, giving Bryce all this money, bringing Wheeler in for all that money, having these guys here and not trying to maximize it? Like, I don't understand it. Like, why penny pinch now, you know?
Right. Well, I know. I get it.
I know. I'm just talking holistically.
Theoretically, this is the time you should be going all in.
Yes, that is my point.
And not spending $1.5 million on Ivan Nova.
Yes, exactly. Especially if you are going to penny pinch, which it seems like you are. And a penny pinch, a relative term. Like, they're going up to luxury tax and stuff.
I know.
They're not truly penny pinching compared to other teams.
Listen, but $180 million, and they're probably on track to be a top five payroll. John, we're getting close to Jack territory.
Yeah, or maybe just, how about spend the money wiser?
No,
and then we don't get into this situation.
Stupid money.
Stupid. You know what? That is true.
Yep.
Stupid money was a prescient thing to say by John Middleton.
Yep.
All right. So Andrelton, we think, is going to happen soon. Forecast. You know, what do you think? What do you expect them to do? You know, generally, obviously, you don't have to nail the names, but, like, are they going to sign a center fielder? Or are they going to go with Haseley, Kingery, Quinn? Like, Segura at second base, Kingery at second base. What do you think the deal is there? And are they going to add another starter? I think we both agree they're going to add some bullpen pieces. You know, what do you see moving forward now?
Well, I think I have this feeling that they're going to either trade for Benintendi or sign JBJ to play center field. Obviously, Benintendi is not the greatest option in center field, but you're taking a chance on that bat bouncing back. So I think one of those guys will be in center field. I think they'll sign Shane Green. I think he's going to be their last bullpen addition.
All right. I like Shane Green.
Yeah, I know. My problem with like Shane Green is, like, the peripherals just don't add up to the ERA.
No, they don't.
And
they
just
don't. But when he gets outs. Like, when you watch him, he gets outs. But I agree, he's not someone you watch and you're like, whoa, look at Shane Green. But, like, he gets outs, you know. So I'm with you. It wouldn't be my top choice, but Shane Green's fine.
Yeah, well, I feel like
major league reliever.
I feel expected.
They got to add more than one reliever, right? I mean, Bradley, Shane Green, Hector Neris, and Junk is not enough.
It's not, but I feel like after the Shane Green thing, it's going to turn into, like, you know, not, I don't think it's going to be as bad.
Couple million for this guy.
Honestly, I would sign Robertson back for like $2 million or like $1 million, just because, like, I don't know. I still think that guy could be a good pitcher. You know, he didn't get back this year, but I still like David Robertson, and it's unfortunate he never got to really pan out here. But there are guys on the free agent market that they can get for, like, $2 million that could really help the bullpen. It's not going to be as bad as the Francisco Liriano, Bud Norris things as last year. But, I mean, I anticipate that's kind of the direction they're going to go. And then I already said it. I said it last night. I'll say it again. I'm going to get Lance McCullers here. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but that's my last move for the Phillies offseason. It's going to be Lance McCullers. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I promised the High Hopes listeners that I will bring Lance McCullers here, and I'm going to deliver on that promise.
And I'm with you and support you in whatever you need. As I said, whatever you need, I'm here for the Lance McCullers thing. All right. We actually have a little breaking news on the pod. How about this, Jack?
Oh, yeah?
The results are in.
Oh, yeah.
There will be no Hall of Famers.
I know.
2021. How about that? Curt Schilling was 71% of the vote. Bonds 61, lower than thought. Clemens 61. It's a shame those guys aren't going to get in. I mean, so I think everyone who's listened to this show before knows that I think Bonds and Clemens should be in, like, absolutely 100% in the Hall of Fame. I've actually gone the other way on Schilling now. Like, I for a long time thought, oh, he's an asshole, but, you know, fine. You know, he's a great pitcher, and that's what matters. I actually don't want Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame anymore.
Yeah, me too.
He's such a bleep that I'm out. Like, I don't want that guy in the Hall of Fame. That guy does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't care that it's not fit. I am very strict. I've always been very strict about, like, what you did in baseball is what matters to me. Were you a Hall of Fame baseball player, then you should get in. Curt Schilling was absolutely a Hall of Fame baseball player, and I don't want him in. It's the first time that's happened.
Yeah, I had no interest. I don't want him.
No, I don't. Well,
You just don't want him representing baseball, ultimately.
Exactly.
So we also have more breaking news.
Oh, look at this. What a wild pod.
Freddie Galvis with the Orioles for $1.5 million.
So I guess we don't have to worry about that one, huh?
Nope. Nope. I mean, should we just keep recording until Andrelton Simmons is signed? I mean,
you could just consider this our version of the Andrelton Simmons is a Philly pod, because he's coming. Like, yeah. This is happening.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Unless Didi takes a year, which I don't think he's going to do, it certainly seems like. But I would love if Didi took a year. Actually, I would even be. I wouldn't hate if he signed for multiple years, but it feels like it'll be Andrelton Simmons. So just count this as the Andrelton Simmons is officially a Philly podcast, because he's probably going to be a Philly.
Yeah, and Dombrowski's just trying to see how many pods he can get us to record in 1 week.
I mean, I do appreciate he's a listener, but this is not exactly the easiest.
He just loves the pod.
I want to hear those guys again.
He doesn't realize that you finish your show, you step right into the studio next. You don't get to go home. I have to leave my wife and my daughter downstairs to come record in Zoe's room, because it's here. There's Ruben getting fired up like last time.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter. We're super happy to do it, but, like, you know. It's all right to take a day off.
Yeah, I mean, spread them out a little bit. You know, you did nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
You did nothing for 2.5 months. You know,
people are going to get tired of us.
Yeah, expect you know, at least help us with the content. You know, spread out the content. Let us do it. So, yeah, I mean, Dave, I know you're really, first off, come on the podcast. We never said one bad thing about you.
Please.
We were
honestly only amazing things.
Yeah, we were always Dombrowski guys, and
we were pitching that they would hire you, and they listened.
Yeah. So it's appreciate it. Come on the podcast. But just nailed the JT signing.
He did. Look, this is pandemic, whatever the reasons, all that stuff. Like, the Phillies nailed this. We are very critical of the Phillies when they do things that are deserving of being critical. They nailed this. They got the guy they had to have back, and they got him at an incredibly fair price considering who he is and what he gives you. Like, that's a great job. Great job by the Phillies.
Great. How about that sentence?
Doesn't that... I know. I know. Felt weird coming out of my mouth.
I know. Like, it's been a struggle to get to this point, but it feels like we're here. It's just such a great day. It's so nice that the worry of JT is, like, done. Like, he's here.
Watch him play baseball for the next 5 years. We just love watching. Like, we get to watch him every night. That's awesome.
I didn't even, like, you know, honestly.
It's going to be weird. You know what's going to be weird, though, Jack, is, like, that first home run or whatever of next season, like, grabbing your phone to tweet sign JT and then be like, oh, wait, I don't have to do that anymore.
I know. I got to find some new material.
I know.
It's going to be tough. I mean, this offseason is just getting better and better. I mean, Simmons probably coming. JT's back. We're not re-signing.
Started rough.
We're not re-signing Freddie Galvis, which is great. I mean, it's everything's breaking our way. Archie Bradley's here.
Archie.
Also, I mean, I put
not
up
on this podcast with us, despite some Twitter buzz that might happen.
I put out the bat signal to come on the podcast, and he did not respond, which is he put out a video, but he didn't respond to coming on the podcast, which is highly disappointing. But it's all right. I fully anticipate he'll come on the podcast. So
yeah, I hope so. I believe it.
Yes.
Yeah,
JT.
So I think that's all I got. You got anything else?
I do have one more thing. And James, and everyone listening, I need you to close your eyes and just take a walk with me into the future, because I saw this vision at about 3:30, and it was about 2022, and the High Hopes podcast is just continuing to dominate the market, and you know, the Phillies are finally starting to make some noise. And now, 2021, we're not sure, but 2022 is like, all right, the Phils have fully arrived. And I'm just taking you inside NLCS Game 1.
Oh, buddy.
Rally towels are just exploding. The rally towels are going. So I'm going to take you to the seventh inning, because in the top of the seventh, Nola strikes out the side, and his last pitch is a two-seamer on the outside corner that JT frames so well that's called strike three. It's called strike three. Joe Buck, heading into the break, says, well, go to the bottom of the seventh right here in Citizens Bank Park, whatever. They come back. JT leads off, hits a dinger into the rally towels. Everyone's jumping up and down. Everyone's going crazy. And all you start to hear is a, JT, 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 and like he's getting serenaded in JT Realmuto chants, and it is, like, I mean, me and you are at the game, obviously tearing up, bro hugging, and it's just a euphoric experience as JT goes deep, and all of Citizens Bank Park just starts breaking out in JT chants. Into the tune of T-O, 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 but in JT-ness.
Oh, what a beautiful image. Like, I could see it in my mind's eye, Jack.
Yeah, can't you see Nola? I mean, I know September.
Can we just get this vaccine to everyone so we can all go back to Citizens Bank Park, please? I mean, please. We need fans in the stands at Citizens Bank Park. We need it like we need air to breathe, Jack.
And, like, you know, I know September Nola exists, and we don't talk about September Nola in this podcast. But
no, October Nola is a whole different thing.
Whole different guy in October.
Trust me. Trust us.
And I just can't get this vision out of my head of him just shoving in the postseason and walking off the mound after, like, a fastball on the outside corner that tails back in, like a tailor-made to right-handers. And Joe Buck, Nola kind of strutting off the mound, crowd going crazy, and then JT going up and hitting the dinger to JT Chance. I just need it. I need it so bad. I can't wait till they're back in the postseason.
Oh, Jack, what a beautiful thought, man. I'm so ready. Let's go. Just sign some bullpen guys, and who knows? Maybe we could sneak in this year, Jack. Who knows?
Expand the postseason.
Yeah, well, they might. We'll see. Shout out to the players for fighting back on that, though. Respect. Appreciate it. All right, you got any final thoughts, Jack?
I don't. What a happy day. I blew it on the air when it came to the announcement.
But you made it up here, and ultimately, yeah. I mean, let's be real. The JT Realmuto signing announcement isn't happening on the air without you and without this podcast.
Right.
So, like, you know, a little leeway.
That's right. Happy day. Phillies fans, High Hopes listeners, we did it. And Philly social media team, you can take a deep breath.
You can seal it. You can take that one. It's free.
Yeah.
You
can take a deep breath, and you don't have to get berated with signed JT stuff anymore. To the Philly social media team, you guys did it.
They signed JT. did it. Spread some salt to a ceiling.